702, the Midday Report with Mandy Wiener.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Coming up on the show today, Ramaphosa leads May Day celebrations in Cape Town. Other political party leaders are also holding events today. We'll speak to the Ekurhuleni mayor following yesterday's State of the City address, the latest on the Table Mountain fire and the M1 highway fire in Joburg. And we'll speak to the director of a local coming-of-age comedy. All of that over the next hour.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday Report on 702 and Cape Talk on this May Day. However you may be marking it today, I hope you're having a good day. Are you commemorating? Are you celebrating workers today? How are you doing that? I can tell you there's a lot of political events happening today. Of course, we are now in the month of May, which we know is the election month. It's been a long road to this point, and I think until the 29th, we're going to see a lot more campaigning. I always say that everything that happens in an election year has to be viewed through the prism of an election year. But do let me know what you're doing today. Send me a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702. 072-567-1567. We'll bring you an update on that Table Mountain fire and the situation there above Kirstenbosch. It's been going for a few days now. And then this M1 highway fire in Joburg. I saw people at about 6 o'clock this morning tweeting about how there was such a big disruption. And this is because of underground cables that are alight. It looks like it's cable theft, vandalism, that has actually led to that. As you heard in Eyewitness News, it seems as though vandals have been responsible for that situation. But we'll speak to the authorities and find out exactly what happened there. Let's start with May Day celebrations. President Cyril Ramaphosa and COSATU President Zingiswa Losi, she's going to be addressing the main COSATU rally at Cape Town's Athlone Stadium today. A few other things that we're watching as well on the day. The DA is having an event, other political parties as well, but we'll start at Athlone Stadium. Babalo Ndenze, EWN reporter, is there for us. Babalo, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time. I'm watching on TV live visuals of President Cyril Ramaphosa walking into the stadium, waving. He's in his ANC leather jacket. Lots of COSATU supporters around him as well. Tell us about what's happening there today.
Yes, indeed, Mandy. The national leaders of the alliance have, you know, taken to the stage now, just before the proceedings begin. The President Ramaphosa, as you've just mentioned, did enter the stadium earlier on and did a little walkabout to loud cheers from the crowd. So it did look like the weather would put a damper on things with the rain earlier, Mandy. But the stadium is now starting to fill up with the main pavilion full of supporters. The stadium, as you know, seats 34,000 people when, you know, soccer is happening. So it's about half full now. The two main pavilions have been filled by members, mostly in ANC regalia. They're also in their COSATU and SACP regalia. So this event is the main event happening today, with other eight provincial events happening across the country. So Ramaphosa and Zingiswa Losi will be making the keynote addresses today. But they're not the only senior leaders of their parties or organizations here. We also have, you know, Chief Whip of the ANC, Pemi Matshudina, joining the president, Bob Rekhisi, also there on stage with him, as well as SACP leaders and Solly Maphaela, also present today, Mandy. So we've also spoken to a number of workers, you know, as we're waiting for the leadership to arrive. And, you know, the workers that we've spoken to, for example, they want more employee rights. They say the employers in the country are more protected than the actual workers. Let's just take a listen to one COSATU supporter, man.
Because mostly, you know, this employment equity thing, it supports more the employer than the employee. You know, once the employer wants to get rid of you, they can use that employment equity or the contract. So what I'm saying is, the employer is more protected than the employee.
You also mentioned the fact that COSATU President Zingiswa Losi is going to be is the main keynote speaker today. What has she been saying?
Yes, indeed. I think Salosi, the main key speaker today, and she re-emphasized the importance, you know, of advancing worker rights in different sectors, whether it's retail. And she also, you know, emphasized the importance of May Day and, you know, protecting workers' rights. She did also mention various legislation that has been passed by the sixth administration of the ANC over the last 5 years. But let's just take a listen to what else she had to say earlier, Mandy.
Today is a very important day in the history of democracy, celebrating 30 years of our democracy, but also taking stock of the victories of the workers in the 30 years of democracy, taking stock of the setbacks and chanting a way forward of how we can unite and we should unite as workers.
Babalo, I am watching on ENCA. They've been showing President Ramaphosa walking around the stadium with Zingiswa Lossi next to him. He's been waving. I'm interested in the stadiumology, which is not always accurate, right? But as you describe the stadium being half full, I can see quite a few empty seats. How indicative is that of the kind of support the ANC has in the Western Cape?
Well, it is quite indicative of the ANC's, you know, stature in the Western Cape. We know their provincial leader, J.J. Chalisus, yesterday was saying that they will be showing, you know, it will be a show of force today. But when we look at the stadium, and Ethel is not the biggest of stadiums, Mandy, as I mentioned earlier, it's just over 30,000 seats. And this is hardly half full. So when you do look at these optics, it could be a concern for the ANC, especially in this province where, you know, we've got smaller parties like the PA that are making more inroads than the ANC.
Babalo, thank you very much. Babalo Ndenze, EWN reporter at Athlone Stadium for us. We are expecting the president to lead that address shortly, so we will bring you some of that when he does take to the podium there. And let me know what you think. How accurate is stadiumology? Do you think that's a good indication of the ANC's support in the Western Cape? Not quite the show of force. And also let me know your thoughts about May Day today, Workers' Day. Send me a WhatsApp voice note. Let me know what you think.
702. Mandy Wiener.
Weekdays, 12 to 1 p.m.
Well, 30 years into democracy, where is the workers' rights in this country? Labor relations. Tony Healy is a labor consultant joining us now. Tony, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time. COSATU leading the May Day rally today, still saying they're very much in support of the ANC, the Tripartite Alliance. If you look at workers' rights in this country, 30 years into democracy, how would you assess them?
Good afternoon, Mandy. I think by any measure internationally, South Africa has very significant workers' rights in a fairly highly regulated employment law regime where you'll see the kind of protections in our law or better than what you'll see in elsewhere in the world, to be honest.
What are some of the key issues that still need a lot of work and a lot of focus?
Well, I would argue that as far as worker rights are concerned, most of them have been, buttoned down and catered for in existing legislation. I mean, you could always improve health and safety when it comes to, for example, the mining sector. There could be greater progress if you're a member of a trade union regarding employment equity, potentially unfair discrimination. But when it comes to the major disputes, and by that I mean we must remember that about 80% of all labor disputes in the country are dismissal-related. They're pretty well catered for at places like the CCMA and bargaining councils.
How important has the ANC's support of labor rights been over the past 30 years, the Tripartite Alliance, that relationship? How has that really bolstered the rights of workers in this country?
I think it's been quite important, Mandy, by virtue of the fact that they've had the majority, they've been able to pass legislation which supports their sort of social justice agenda and an agenda that really does seek to protect and promote workers' rights. I'm not so sure that they wouldn't necessarily have been passed had there not been an ANC majority in the first 30 years, but I think it has helped. And to some degree, as has the alliance with COSATU.
Tony, thank you very much. Tony Healy, Labour consultant, speaking to us about May Day today, workers' rights, the relationship between workers and the ruling party as well, the governing party, speaking to us this May Day about that. Let's speak to a number of different unions now to get a sense of how they are commemorating, marking May Day today, and how they reflect on 30 years of democracy. So let's start first with the SAFTU spokesperson, Trade Union Federation SAFTU. Trevor Shaku is the spokesperson. Trevor, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time today. How is SAFTU marking the day today? And how do you reflect on the past 30 years when it comes to workers' rights?
Good afternoon and thanks for having us. SAFTU is marking the Workers' Day today through various rallies which are taking place throughout the country, major one taking place here in Seshego Polokwane, where we've gathered to, of course, reflect on the 30 years of workers' lives under a liberal democracy. And we are also having others in KZN, Durban. We are having rallies in the Dunes, in Western Cape, and my two matches in Gauteng and in Northwest. And the last rally is taking place in King Williamstown in the Eastern Cape. Now, reflecting on the 30 years of workers' lives under a liberal democracy, our assessment is that we have been able to make various gains politically and legally. That is indisputable, that we have been able to secure rights insofar as the recognition of the trade union movement itself, the repealing of the old Industrial Conciliation Act with the Labour Relations Act of 1995, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. Of all of this, of course, needs continuous review and amendment. And in the amendment of this, of course, there are two contending forces in society as always, and that is between the capitalist class and the workers. So continuously, as we have seen with the Democratic Alliance and the Action SA, they are pushing on behalf of the capitalist class the review of these laws to curtail the rights of workers by firstly attacking the national minimum wage, but secondly, also attacking some of the rights, saying that they are draconian labor laws, which is, in our view, a lie.
And what do you think needs to be done over the next 30 years? Where should the focus be, from SAFTU, but from government as well?
Can you repeat the question?
Where should the focus be going forward?
Look, the focus should be on the socio-economic front, because the gains I've mentioned have mainly been on the legal and political side. The socio-economic conditions of workers have somewhat remained the same, if not worse. Because if you compare the living standards of workers to where it were in 1994, there would be difference which would have been made by the universalization of the public service. But even with that, you have problems. Because one, you have 75% of the workforce in the country earning less than 5,800. Meanwhile, the Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice Dignity Group research has said that the cost of a household grocery just on food costs 5,300. Mm. Now, we have not even factored in the cost of electricity, the cost of municipal service, the cost of transport, of fuel, all of which go into the reproduction of labor and the labor power they are able to render on a daily basis. So this are the main areas of focus to improve the socio-economic condition.
Trevor, thank you very much. Trevor Shaku is the SAFTU spokesperson, speaking to us about workers' rights and progress that has been made over the past 30 years, this Workers' Day. Phakamile Hlubi-Majola, NUMSA spokesperson, joining us now. Phakamile, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time as we commemorate Workers' Day today. How does NUMSA reflect on the past 30 years in terms of workers' rights and what has been achieved and what still needs to be done?
Good afternoon, Mandy. Good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Workers' Day is a very important day for workers, not just all over the globe, but also particularly in South Africa. Some of the democratic gains that we have made, the democratic breakthrough of 1994, is largely primarily due to the unity of the working class that fought side by side during the liberation movements to end the apartheid system. But it is our view that even though we have this democracy, which is in fact a liberal democracy, it doesn't go far enough. It is a democracy that benefits the elite. It is a democracy that ensures that only a handful of wealthy people are able to access quality education, quality healthcare, and overall quality life. And if you look at the demands that workers were making under apartheid, they wanted freedom for all, not freedom for a handful of wealthy elites. So there's definitely a lot of work that can still be done. One of the challenges, for example, that workers are facing is that even though we've done very, very good work in securing decent wages, decent benefits and conditions in the workplace, for example, the fact that May Day is a public holiday, you can thank the working class for that. You can thank them for weekends. You can thank them for the 45-hour week, paternity leave, maternity leave. I mean, the list goes on and on. Our biggest threat now is 4IR and, of course, this, you know, gig economy, which seeks to roll back on all of these gains and basically, you know, strip workers of all of the benefits and rights that they have worked very hard for decades. So these are among the challenges that we face going forward. And I think also if you look in, within South Africa specifically, even though, you know, you can give credit to the governing party for some of the things that they've done in terms of getting us to where we are, it is Nomsa's view that the ANC government has actually played more of a role of a security guard in terms of defending the wealth of the white wealthy elite. So what we needed was a government that was going to be far more radical in ensuring that the majority of people are able to actually genuinely benefit from democracy.
In light of the fact that it is an election year, we're now in an election month. Historically, we've seen the tripartite alliance, the close relationship between COSATU and the ANC. How important, you say that the ANC has played the role of being a security guard to white wealth. How important is the role of the tripartite alliance in terms of improving workers' rights? Or maybe if you can say more about what you think government needs to be doing.
Well, the problem is that even when Nomsa was part of the tripartite alliance, we ended up breaking away, as you know, Mandy, in 2013.
Yeah.
Because we reached a point where we realized that this relationship just couldn't go on in the form that it was. The ANC government was basically using Labour to rubber stamp decisions which were anti-worker. Look at the privatization of state-owned entities. It's definitely not to the benefits of the working class majority. I mean, as backward and as racist and as fascist as the apartheid government was, they used state-owned entities to develop value chains, to create jobs, and they did so for the benefit of white workers. When the ANC takes power, instead of using those very same SOEs for the benefit now of all of us, they now are, you know, slaves to the dictates of international finance capital that's calling on them to liberalize these SOEs, allow the private sector to penetrate. And by the way, the involvement of the private sector in our SOEs, what it does is it reduces the quality of service, it results in massive job losses because there's massive retrenchments, and it hikes up the prices of goods because the private sector doesn't care about value chains, it doesn't care about developing the economy, it cares only about profits. So even the suffering we've experienced with Eskom, where we are paying more for less electricity, is because there's now a private sector that is benefiting through the exorbitant renewable energy independent power producers, which are milking the state and are actually making things worse and not improving things. So what we need going forward is we need a state that's going to behave like a sovereign state, a state that's going to be independent and not going to be a slave to the demands of international finance capital, a state that will have the courage to act in the interests of the masses, to drive genuine transformation so that we can actually stop being the most unequal society on earth and actually really start to transform the lives of the majority of people.
Pakamile, thank you very much. Pakamile Khlobi Majola, the spokesperson for NUMSA, on what NUMSA's view is this Workers' Day in terms of workers' rights, what's been achieved, what still needs to happen in this country. You are welcome to send me a WhatsApp voice note if you agree or disagree with that view. 072 702 1702 072 567 1567.
What's up, Mandy?
On 072-702-1702.
Good afternoon, Mandy. Mandy, I don't celebrate this Workers' Day. With those, remember those lily mine workers still trapped underground. I don't hear the unions talking about them. SACP and COSATU, they're all talking about voting ANC. What about those families? When are they going to get closure? They must fight for those people to be taken out of the and from underground. Now they are busy telling us, please vote ANC, vote ANC. Lily mine workers, those three. Yo, it's a shame with you, COSATU. Thank you.
Good day, Mandy. It's Andy Day and Breaking Downs. You know, I left work at about 2 a.m. So passing that double-decker section just underneath the market theater there, there was two fire trucks. The smoke was so thick we couldn't see, I'll say 500 meters. It was so thick and it was bad. And I'm sure that tar was hot because tires were smelling there. But we got out safely, but I was worried what was happening. So there is serious fire there. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. I did see people on social media at about 6 this morning saying that it was so bad they couldn't get through. And I see on TV now the fire trucks are still there. We will speak to EMS. On that Lily Mine issue, we know that that's a topic that has really been pushed by Action SA, by Herman Mashaba, feeling very strongly about that. Not necessarily mentioned by the unions, so good point there. Paul on the WhatsApp line says, "Hi Mandy, these unions are no longer representing workers, but shareholders in these companies. They'll fool poor workers, but clever workers won't ever buy their stories. Our unions are conflicted." Interesting view there from Paul.
What's up, Mandy?
On 072-702-1702.
Hi Mandy, that spokesperson for COSATU lives in an alternative world if she thinks that renewables are the reasons why we have less electricity and pay a lot more for it. Really, if that's a sign of her ability to analyze what's happened, I'm afraid COSATU are in a lot of trouble because they don't have a clue.
You know, the staff that you're talking to now, in recent weeks they were hosting Mbalula. I'm not sure what was the occasion. And they were laughing at his jokes and they were saying that they are looking after the workers. Workers are crying, especially in the public sector. And this staff too is taking money off the workers to campaign for the ANC. That money is not for staff too and other unions of COSATU to campaign for the ANC. It's for the workers. Workers are not getting what they're supposed to get with these unions because they're sitting all in those tables and drinking whiskey and discussing how they're going to, you know, trick us on giving them their money without representing us. I'm tired of these unions. These unions are just as useless as the ANC. And when the ANC dies, they must die with it.
Strong view there. Thank you very much for that WhatsApp voice note. Just a point of clarity, Pakamile Khlubi Majola is the NUMSA spokesperson, not COSATU spokesperson. NUMSA no longer, as she pointed out, a member of the Tripartite Alliance. And we know that NUMSA has been very vocal in terms of its support for coal, very much against renewables. So no surprise there. But of course, I personally disagree. You disagree as well. We know that renewables, rooftop solar, making a massive contribution to power generation in this country. One of the main reasons, I think, that we don't have load shedding at this point. But we know that NUMSA's view, of course, is very pro-worker in support of the coal industry. So no surprise there at all. But thank you for those WhatsApp voice notes. And just to tell you what else is happening today, the EFF leader, Julius Malema, is commemorating Workers' Day with a number of events taking place in Hammanskraal, community meetings with workers, and then the DA, the leader John Steenhuisen, taking part in May Day rally in Mitchell's Plain today.
7:02, the Midday Report, Monday to Friday.
12 to 1 p.m.
If you were listening yesterday, you would have heard us reporting on the fact that the new Ekurhuleni mayor, Dr. Kakaza, held the State of the City address yesterday. He was elected as the mayor just a week ago. And that's because there has been a degree of instability, the previous mayor being voted out, a vote of no confidence there. And that's because of the fractious relationship between the EFF and the ANC. Will there now be stability? Let's look at some of the key issues raised by Dr. Kakaza Ekurhuleni Mayor yesterday, and a pleasure to welcome the Ekurhuleni Mayor to the show today. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Afternoon, Mindy, and the greetings to the listeners of 702.
So I think the most pressing matter, firstly, is about stability in terms of the government in Ekurhuleni. We know that there has been a degree of instability with the relationship between the EFF, the ANC, the coalition there. What is your message to residents of Ekurhuleni in terms of bringing stability to that council?
No, thank you very much for the question. We have assured to the residents of Ekurhuleni that we take courage from the council meeting having elected us unopposed. And I think that goes a long way just to as a demonstration that the 214 councillors who are making up the council of Ekurhuleni, representing about 16 political parties, they take the issue of stability serious. I think it has got, of course, a lot to do with the confidence that I have on my leadership. But most importantly, it is about the stability. And what we've committed is that we need to build on that, trust and basically consult a lot more, with all the political parties, so that when we discharge or lead the service delivery program, we ensure that we reach out to all the communities of Ekurhuleni. We put politics aside to focus on the interests of our people.
We know that it's important in terms of dependable infrastructure, proper roads, reliable electricity, a refuse collection, uninterrupted water supply. How are you going to prioritize those issues for your residents?
We have put up a program of action. We think there's great plans in the city of Ekurhuleni. I mean, if you look back at, during the term of Mayor Mondli Kungubele, great plans in terms of all the master plans that were developed, the Metropolis Master Plan, the municipal, in terms of the special development framework during the term of Mayor Mzwandile Masina, programs in terms of fast-tracking service delivery was outlined. There has, of course, been certain changes because of the elections of 2021. We think we need to move in there and fast-track the delivering of services. The plan that we've put up is anchored around the six pillars. We want to ensure that there is a provision of sustainable services, energy, uninterrupted provision of electricity. And of course, if interruptions do happen, we must ensure that there's a strong communication plan. The repairs and maintenance of all facilities. We understand there's issues around finances for you to be able to, we've got all the infrastructure, but we need to strengthen the repairs and maintenance, the potholes, deal with water leaks, deal with sewer blockages, cut the grass. Big issue is around cemeteries. We cut cemeteries, both active and inactive, because our people regularly visit those. But of course, we need to build a strong financial base to be able to do that, collect services, identify new revenue areas. We also need a strong economy to be able to do that. We need to partner with private sector because where we do not have the money, we've got the land. What type of partnership we can structure to ensure that we drive the city forward. But for us to be able to build the private sector closer, bring the private sector closer, we must demonstrate that issues of governance, issues of ethical leadership are at the center of what we're doing. So we think with that type of a program, if we're able to marshal everybody to actually support this program, it will go a long way in ensuring that we fast-track the service delivery to our community.
So I was interested in the fact that you said you do want to unlock public-private partnerships under the PPP program, and that's how you are bringing in investment, and that could improve the city's liquidity position. But keeping in mind, of course, you're in a coalition with the EFF. How do they feel about that policy position?
Yeah, well, I mean, we, as I've indicated to you, we've got a great program, the Retropolis program, well articulated, well canvassed. It is well known the fact that we've got the, you know, the biggest airport. How do you capitalize on the movement of the people? The fact that we've got all the major highways crisscrossing our city, the rail. What does it mean in terms of movement of goods and services? And that is well understood with canvas developers. But we needed to ensure that there's certainty. In the past 2.5 years, there's been less articulation, less leadership on those areas. And that's where we really have to arise, organize, and mobilize our people. And I think if we've got a program and there's leadership around the program, there should be less issues. And what is encouraging us to a great deal is that the entire multi-party has actually bestowed the authority, on us. We have a plan. All what we need is commitment and leadership. The Municipal Structures Act affirms Section 60 says the executive authority lies with the mayor. And if we've got the council backing and we're able to deliver and report back to councillors and strengthen community feedback, was one of the things that has not been happening in the 2.5 years. We've not been holding communities in business. We just do IDPs, we go to communities, we go to business, but we don't come back and say this is how far we've gone. We need to strengthen that component as well, so that everybody begins to believe that the big government, I mean, there's transparency, there's accountability, including where there's shortcomings. We need to communicate to our people, and I think that goes a long way. And I think there won't be any, of course, dissociation will be there. People will try and derail you, but where there's leadership and firmness, we will go a long way. And what we can commit to our communities is that we will finish this term. 2.5 years, we'll still be here, we'll be standing, we will give a report, our people about how far we've gone in taking forward, delivery.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for your time. Ekurhuleni Mayor Dr. Qakaza, new in the role, State of the City address yesterday. Thank you very much for your time and best of luck to you in your tenure. Saying there that they are going to prioritise service delivery and getting finances liquid as well. And let's see how that coalition does hold in Ekurhuleni.
702.
The Midday Report with Mandy Wiener.
Let's walk the talk.
While we continue to celebrate and reflect on 30 years of democracy, this week on the Politricking podcast with Tidi Madia, Tidi hosted three veteran journalists, Tim Modise, Freek Robinson and Feral Hafaji, about the need for reconciliation, thoughts on what has happened over the past 30 years. Take a listen.
This week on Politricking with Tidi Madia.
I think a lot of South Africans are reflecting on what 30 years of democracy means. I've brought in a couple of people who really have watched history unfolding over the years. They've watched the South African story. So joining me in studio, Brad Tim Modise, Freek Robinson, and of course, Feral Hafaji.
You can measure how much houses are built, but how do you actually measure reconciliation? We should have worked on that from the start in a very dedicated way.
This transformation element is very important. It's difficult to have reconciliation in a country where young people, by their millions, are unemployed.
Our country has more than lived up to my dream of what we would become, how freedom feels.
Listen to the full episode on PrimeMediaPlus.com. Politricking with Tidi Madia on EWN. In touch, in tune, and independent.
And now, it's back to Mandy Wiener on the Midday Report.
This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
12:48 on the Midday Report with me, Mandy Wiener, on 7:02 in Cape Talk this May Day. Let's bring you an update now on the situation with the fire on Table Mountain and then the situation with the fire on the M1 highway in Joburg. We'll start in the Western Cape. Sandparks closing hiking trails as those wildfires continue on Table Mountain. Justin Buckman is the Table Mountain National Park Fire Manager. Justin, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time. What is the status of that fire at the moment?
Good afternoon. So the status of the fire is we had a little bit of drizzle this morning, and the mountain was largely clouded over last night, which has helped us significantly. The areas that we can access on foot on the back table, we have well contained at this stage. But we are expecting a bit of a shift in the weather this afternoon. So the next couple of hours are going to be important for us in terms of monitoring. There are still smouldering spots on the cliff faces from Kirstenbosch Street in Newlands, but those are largely inaccessible, so we'll just continue to monitor those in the interim.
And imagine many of those hiking trails still closed. Where exactly should people be aware of?
So we've kept the trails closed from Constantia back table and Newlands for now. We do have rangers out on the ground currently looking at some of the damage sustained on the trails, on the contour path between Constantia, Cecilia Forest and Newlands, because some of the water bar signage has been burnt. And we're just concerned about potential for falling rocks and trees post-burn. But as soon as they've done that assessment and as soon as it's safe, we'll then open those trails to the public.
I imagine visibility. Yesterday we heard that the visibility was an issue. Also aerial firefighting, also a problem. Are you hoping that will at least be an option to you later?
Yes, we expect it to clear this afternoon, and then we'll then assess whether aerial support is necessary. They are currently on standby for us.
Justin, thank you so much. Justin Buchman is the Table Mountain National Park Fire Manager, giving us an update there on that situation and what's happening at the moment with that fire that's been going above Kirstenbosch for a few days now. So that's the Western Cape update. Let's have a look at the situation now on the M1 highway, because from early morning today, reports that underground cables on fire on the M1 affecting that stretch of highway around the double-decker section. Robert Mulaoutsi, the EMS spokesperson. Robert, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time. Firstly, do we know what actually caused this incident and what exactly happened?
Good afternoon, Mindy, and afternoon to the listeners. Yes, at this stage, we don't know what caused the fire, but it's an underground fire along the double-decker highway. So It's the tunnel is housing cables from City Power and also cables from Transnet. Of course, the ones from City Power, they are the ones who are supplying some electricity for the residents around this area where we are. So we got the call this morning. We started conducting our firefighting operation. It's a very tedious exercise, since you know that it's a confined space fire. So far, the fire is very much under control, unlike earlier on in the morning when we arrived here. We had a very huge smoke which was coming from the source of the fire, which caused us to close the road between Empire and the Crown Interchange so that we restrict, you know, movement of vehicles on top of the, you know, double-decker highway. So at this stage, we don't have any injuries which have been reported so far. So we are still conducting our firefighting operations. The plan is that as soon as we are done conducting our firefighting operations, we'll have to go through the whole tunnel. Just make sure that we extinguish all the hot spots, make sure that the tunnel is safe. Then we can allow our colleagues from City Power to start working along the tunnel. So I will say, so far, that is the latest update which we have from our side.
Do we know if there's any structural damage? We had a listener saying that the tar was very hot. Do you think that it could have actually impacted on the structure of the highway?
No. The highway is still intact. There is a tunnel. The tunnel runs through along, you know, the highway, just along the highway. So the tunnel is on the other side of the highway. So the highway is still very much intact. And also the tunnel itself, it looks like it's still intact. But I think most of the inspections will conduct it as soon as we have done extinguishing the fire, because there's still a lot of smoke which is coming from the tunnel itself. So we are just speeding with our motorists to try and avoid, you know, driving in this around this area. And of course, the residents who are residing around this area to stay away from the area.
And Robert, just for clarity, how long do you expect that stretch of highway, and where exactly is it to be closed?
Yeah, the stretch of highway which is closed is between Empire and the Crown Interchange. It's about a kilometer or so, which is covering that cable, which is those cables which is on fire. So we should be here most part of the day today. So our message to our motorists is just to avoid using this area, instead use other alternative routes, because we should be here most part of the day today.
All right, Robert, thank you very much. Robert Mulawutsi, EMS spokesperson, explaining that situation. Try and avoid that M1 highway as it goes through Joburg around Smith Street into the Joburg CBD. It does appear as though it was vandals responsible for cable theft, and that may have caused it. There are still some hot spots there, but a visibility issue as well. So avoid that area.
702. Mandy Wiener.
Weekdays, 12 to 1 p.m.
So let's step away from the hard news now and all of the May Day Workers' Day celebrations. We are still waiting for the president to come to the podium at the Athlone Stadium. And focus on something, because we do like to celebrate local productions. And there is a local coming-of-age comedy that I've heard people speaking about, telling me that it is absolutely hilarious. It's called Just Now Jeffrey. It's going to be released at cinemas countrywide this Friday. Have a listen to the trailer.
I want you inside and out.
Oh, man, 1989. What a crazy time. There's so much going on around us.
Sorry, dude.
But we were clueless.
Wakey, wakey!
We lived in a crazy little bubble.
So the perfect planet place cannot fail. Tavor and I shall be playing hide the sausage in no time.
That's me, Jeffrey Greenbaum. And that bulky oak is my best friend, Brad Berman. He likes to eat.
I'd love to play hide the sausage, man. Sure.
All clowns like us could talk about was, you know, that thing the guys talk about.
I've been going steady with Tavor 6 months, and she still won't go all the way.
And we have the perfect plan.
Buxom babes? Is that even possible?
Mazel tov, my boyki. You're about to become a man.
Okay, maybe not so perfect.
Yeah, I've got a bad feeling about this.
You would have heard the voices there of Nick Rabinowitz and Rob von Fuhren, who star in this coming-of-age film set in South Africa in the 1980s. Brett Morris is the co-writer and director and joins us now. Brett, good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time. You wrote this movie with your lifelong friend, Hilton Tannenbaum. Tell us about what inspired it.
Hi, Mandy. Thanks for having us on the show. Well, you know, it was a long time in coming. Hilton and I have wanted to make a movie probably since we met, around 12 years old. And for us, really, was about, first of all, making something hopefully enjoyable, you know, something that people would still be entertained by. But also, we wanted to see our youth up on screen, and something that we'd always found watching American movies when we were young, you know, for such a nice representation of that culture. And we never saw anything that represented us. And that for us was really about bringing our youth to life and setting a universal story, but against that unique South African backdrop.
And we really do have a unique South African backdrop, particularly the 1980s in South Africa. So complex, but still an ability to find humour in it. And that is really brought to life by Nick and Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we wanted to make sure we weren't setting out to make a political film. We just wanted to make a great story that people would love to watch and be entertained by. But we couldn't ignore, obviously, what was going on in the country at the time. We lived in this, as we talk about in the movie, this crazy bubble in South Africa in the 80s. And it does really give a particularly unique context to a coming-of-age story.
It has been praised for its world-class production, beautiful cinematography, art direction, the soundtrack. What were your priorities here?
Again, we wanted to make something that would stand up to any movie in the world. You know, we're very lucky to have incredible talent in South Africa. We worked in the film industry in some sense through advertising, Hilton as a director, myself as a writer for many, many years. And we've got incredible talent. And, you know, they gave their hearts and souls to this movie. And we wanted it to really represent the depth of talent in South African film production and, you know, make something that, as I said, could stand up to any movie in the world.
And Brett, if people want to watch it, where can they watch?
So it releases this Friday in about 30 or so cinemas across the country. So Stekenikor, New Metro, the Bioscope in 44 Stanley, as well as the Labia in Cape Town. So yeah, hopefully enough venues for people to track it down and watch. It'll be on throughout May at least.
Brilliant, Brett. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for chatting to us about it. Brett Morris is the co-writer and director of the local coming-of-age comedy. It's called Just Now, Jeffrey. It will have you laughing pretty hard, according to those who've watched it. They said it's incredibly funny. I can't wait. I haven't seen it yet. But we like to celebrate local. And if you want to go and support local, go and check out Just Now, Jeffrey at cinemas countrywide on Friday.
The Midday Report.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this Workers' Day. I'm watching at the moment the COSATU Workers' Day rally. We're expecting President Cyril Ramaphosa to speak there shortly. He is there in attendance. He hasn't taken the podium yet. That's about to happen. But interesting to look at that stadium. It does look like it's filled up a little bit. Our reporter telling us it's about half full in Athlone. Is stadiumology a reflection of the support that the ANC has in the Western Cape? And lots of views also on this Workers' Day, 30 years into democracy, how much we've achieved, what we still need to achieve.